Can metformin really add years to your life? I'm Hamza Aziz, the producer of the Talking with Docs podcast. You might know Talking with Docs from their popular YouTube channel. Can diabetic drugs actually help you live longer? Let's find out.
Is there a medication that can extend your life, make you live healthier, make you live longer?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to be discussing whether or not there's a medication that can extend your health span and your lifespan.
Metformin.
Stick around to the end to find... Bruh. Did you just say the name of the medication?
I did. We're talking about metformin today.
There's a hook. It's a hook. Hook to keep people watching until the end. Hamza, don't we need a hook?
Hook's good.
See, hooks are good. Hamza said hooks.
We don't need a hook. We're going to explain it. That's why people stick around to listen to us.
You turned our hook into a spoon. The hook hooks them in. You just spoon-fed them. Okay. All right. Stick around in the end to find out how to spell it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Right? I mean, it could be an F. It could be a PH.
Sure.
Like Phil.
Silent X.
The name, not the verb.
Okay, so metformin, yes.
Metformin.
Talked about a lot in longevity world right now, really popular. We've talked a little bit about it in the past, but now we're going to dive deeper. Welcome to Talk with Docs. I'm Dr. Bradley.
I'm Dr. Paul Zaza.
Okay.
So metformin is a medication that's being investigated thoroughly right now to see if it can extend health span, which is the length of time that you live healthy,
right,
and lifespan.
Actually, the number of years you're on the earth.
Yeah.
Okay. Both important to most people.
I think so, too. So is this sort of pill the new fountain of youth that people are looking for? I mean, mankind, womankind, humankind's been looking for the fountain of youth for centuries.
Yep.
And you see it all over pop culture, movies, literature. And now it's actually people are looking for this fountain of youth in a pill.
And honestly, this is the purpose of our channel. We're just trying to give people information so they can make informed decisions about their life to make their life healthier.
And we're trying to make you live forever.
Okay. So where did metformin come from?
Metformin is not new at all. It's been around for over 100 years.
102 years, 1922.
Okay. 102 years it's been around. So it's off patent.
Yes.
So it's not got one drug company that's funding major trials with it. That's one of the challenges with research. If a drug company doesn't have any commercial interest in it, then all of a sudden there's not a ton of research money.
It's ironic. No research money, but it's cheap to buy.
Well, so
it's
that's kinda, why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another good thing about it is that there's a lot of long-term follow-up. People have taken this for a long time. So if there was something sinister, typically related to long-term use, it likely would have been revealed so far.
Yeah. True, because it has been used a lot, globally.
Yes. Okay, so was it originally a diabetes medication?
No. I think it originally was developed by Werner and Bell.
Yes.
It's always two guys, eh? Watson and Crick, Banting and Best, Zaza and Weaning, Werner and Bell.
Yeah.
Werner and Bell developed this, I think it came from the French lilac plant part
Turner
of it.
Turner and Hooch.
One of them's not a no.
Yeah.
And so... That was around 1922.
Yes, for malaria.
Right. It wasn't designed to reduce glucose levels. It wasn't designed to make people live longer.
Right.
And I don't think those two chemists really knew what they had found there.
No.
But that's originally when it was designed, but didn't really get to clinical use until a bit later.
Yeah, so they found that later on when they were looking at all their malaria patients, they're like, hey, it's kind of weird. These people's blood glucose profiles really improved because they measured a bunch of different things in these studies. And they're like, hey, it actually helps people with borderline diabetes or elevated blood glucose.
And they're still getting malaria.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know they were. Oh, so they threw it away.
So then someone else, like 30 years later, late 1950s, said, hey, let's do some trials for diabetes or pre-diabetes.
Threw it away for a while. It wasn't until like 57 when in France they started using it and found that, hey, it does reduce glucose.
And then here in Canada, we were a little slower. 1972, it got approved by Health Canada.
Yeah, it came in with the bell bottoms.
And which is super weird. 1994 in the U.S. because they were so worried about lactic acidosis, which is one of the complications with this medication. So in the U.S., it's only been there for like 30 years.
Right. We picked it up with disco. They picked it up with grunge.
Yeah, that's right.
In the 90s.
All right. Seattle.
In any case, so now that's by far its most common uses in people who are living with diabetes.
Yeah.
Type 2 diabetes to help them manage their glucose levels. And that's the indication on the label.
Okay.
So that's the FDA approval, the Health Canada approval.
Yep.
That is the indication. So you can't go to your doctor and say, hey, I want to take metformin because I want to live longer.
Okay.
It's just not indicated for that right now.
All right.
So then, like we've talked about before, there are medications that get repurposed. And we find other uses for them. They're developed for one thing and then they're used for something else. So like metformin was originally going to be for malaria, then they found it reduces glucose. Now all of a sudden a bunch of people are interested in trying to extend lifespan and health span.
And some of this came from some studies where they noticed that people with type 2 diabetes were living longer.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's kind of weird. You have a chronic medical condition that typically has negative effects on your lifespan, health span. And these people were living longer, which was interesting.
Yeah, some of them were living to the same age as those people who would have been predicted to live longer with the absence of different chronic diseases.
Right.
So it's a, and it's not a randomized controlled trial.
Nope. Plight of the observational data.
Yeah, observational data, epidemiologic data. So first thing to put out there is there's no randomized clinical trial that shows that metformin will make you live longer.
There have been a few randomized controlled trials in people who are not diabetic that have shown specific benefits for small trials, short follow-up, and that's kind of the launching pad for some of for the trial that's going on. But let's not get to that yet.
Yeah, there are some studies that have shown that it'll stop you from getting diabetes.
Before,
but no study that's rigorous enough to get the approval to get it on the label.
Right. Agreed.
Okay. So
How does it work?
Metformin is guanidine.
Yes.
Beautiful name.
Yeah. I think it's actually biguanidine. I think there's two rings that are kind of attached.
Yeah. There is. And actually, until 2005, they had what it looked like wrong.
Yeah. Right?
They thought it looked like one thing, thought it was a two-dimensional molecule and whatever. But then with the advantage of computational chemistry and better understanding of quantum mechanics, after 2005, we say, this is a 3D sort of molecule.
Just lost a bunch of our viewers there.
It's okay. They're come back. Because of the hook. They got to come back to know how to spell it at the end.
Okay.
Because you gave away the hook.
Okay.
So don't blame me.
Okay.
So it's a 3D thing, and it actually changes its shape according to the pH.
Yes.
It's hydrophilic. It also loves to stick to water.
What does it do? People are like, at the end of the day, thanks, Paul, for the history of guanidine molecule and its structure.
Yeah.
What does it do? How does it work? So I would say the main way that metformin helps people with type 2 diabetes and potentially improve longevity is through the AMP kinase mechanism.
Happening in your mitochondria.
Right.
Right now as we speak.
All of our cells have this enzyme. What happens is this enzyme is typically activated during a fasting type state. So what happens is ATP is the lowest kind of currency of energy for our cells.
Right.
When that ATP is broken down, so when one of the phosphates of the triphosphate is taken away, that releases a bunch of energy. That's how we use it to do things with our cells. As energy becomes less available, then you take off a second phosphate group and make ADP to AMP. This is a less efficient process, less energy is released, but it's like when you're fasting. So this pathway is one of the key pathways that is activated with metformin rather than having to fast.
And I'm losing people here.
Okay. And so the main thing that it does is it talks to your liver and says, hey, liver, stop using gluconeogenesis or the making of glucose as the main way and shifts it to fatty oxidation.
Right.
So other pathways that are activated also when you fast.
Right.
These are probably the main ways that it does. It reduces your blood sugar, improves insulin sensitivity, and turns on the AMPK pathway.
Right. Thank you for that.
It's a really
dissertation.
Important. Yeah.
Okay. Now where were we? We're talking about the fact that it's being repurposed to look at aging. And there is a group interested in this.
Yes.
And they put together the TAME trial.
Right. So targeting aging with metformin. So T, A, and then ME for metformin.
Right. It was but the article is called Metformin as a Tool to Target Aging.
Yes.
And they didn't want to call it the MATE study, I guess, because that
I bet it's already been used.
The MATE study?
My guess is.
Other implications to that name.
Yes.
So we're going to put a link to it in the description because it's a public access document. You can read it if you want, if you're interested in what's happening.
But it hasn't been done. The trial is ongoing, so there's no paper talking about the results yet. Their goal is to enroll 3,000.
Right.
Follow them for 6 years.
Right.
And I believe they've enrolled 1,700. And the main reason more haven't been done, this started in 2016.
Right.
Is funding.
Right.
They're looking for more money.
Remember we said this is off patent. There's no thing.
Yeah.
No one funding this from a commercialization point of view. And the interesting thing is they're not looking just at one specific outcome. They're looking at a composite of outcomes that include cardiovascular disease, cancer, dementia, and death or all-cause mortality.
Yep.
So instead of looking at one specific function, which is what you normally do when you study a drug, is you look at one outcome with some secondary outcomes, they're looking at a composite of outcomes of all these things.
And there have been studies in non-diabetic people, pilot studies, one that showed a significant reduction in inflammatory markers like IL-6, tumor necrosis factor, and ESR. There have been other studies that have shown improved insulin sensitivity as well as reduced fasting blood glucose.
Right. And actually, as they allude to it in their justification for this, they talk about the different studies and the effects on different body systems.
Right.
And it includes even cognitive function.
Yep.
They've got some evidence that shows it improves cognitive function.
Well, some people talk about diabetes being, you know, type 3 diabetes being Alzheimer's.
Right.
Or dementia. That's like a thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The decreased mortality, of course, what we're looking at.
Yep.
And basically other composite outcomes that sort of are attributed with natural aging.
Yeah, and some of the other thoughts behind metformin, why it potentially is beneficial, is because that fasted state is the time when our bodies are cleaning up some of the mess,
right,
reducing oxidation, so even the little caps, there's something called telomeres on the end of our chromosomes, these,
yes,
get shorter as we age, and they think that this might reduce the rate of shortening of our telomeres, and there are certain pathways, something called the mTOR pathway that is also associated with aging that may be reduced, so it's all designed almost like a protective mechanism. So, and some people liken the fasting and the metformin to be a way that, hey, listen, when we didn't have access to food constantly,
yeah,
this is how we survived, and this is why it's probably beneficial. And maybe, similarly, because we have constant access to food, maybe this is why we're sicker, because you're never activating any of these pathways anymore, because you,
right,
just always have food. Your body never has to say, hey, guys, maybe we should conserve a little bit, maybe we should do some house cleaning here.
Right.
Because you just have food all the time, and they really believe that this is part of why we're where we are today.
So the intermittent fasting people would...
they would love this.
Right.
And we've said before, intermittent fasting maybe for weight loss is not the answer, but the deeper you go, I'd say there's good evidence intermittent fasting has other benefits beyond weight,
yeah,
loss.
Another video?
Maybe.
And now the other interesting thing that I thought would be worth bringing up is the ethical dilemma of looking for an agent that makes people live longer.
Okay.
I think there's an ethical discussion there to have.
Okay.
Leave a comment if you think, hey, it's ethically sound.
Or what, yeah, you think about this at all, actually.
Yeah. If you think it's ethical to develop something that's going to make people live forever.
Sure. I think the first thing about that is we didn't really talk much about the side effects, and thankfully they're not very many. So the number one is GI. GI upset is very, very common. Often it'll get better if you start slowly or you slow-release metformin.
Mm-hmm.
The second one would be B12 deficiency. It alters our gut microbiome in some positive ways and also in some negative ways, as well as transport and the receptors that actually get B12 up into your ileum or the last part of your small colon.
Right.
That's like 10 to 30%. There's very rare side effects, something called lactic acidosis, that can be life-threatening. And this was the main reason the FDA waited for 70 years to approve it.
Right. Got to be safe.
And then some other more uncommon risks. But generally, I'd say it's very safe. So that would be the first thing, that, hey, we're going to give it to people who aren't diabetic.
Yeah.
If something bad happened, it's low risk of that part.
Yes, it's safe. It's absorbed in the top part of the small intestine for sure, yeah, and it can therefore affect your gut,
yeah,
bacteria. It's got to. But yeah, it is safe. But just the whole ethical discussion,
yes,
of whether or not we should be developing something that makes people live forever.
What do you think about that?
Ethically?
Yeah.
I think ethically it needs to be addressed and discussed. Because always what we have is science leads ethics.
Right.
We can make a scientific discovery, and then,
right,
we're like, later we're like, oh, is that ethically sound thing to do?
Right.
Cloning, whatever you want to, you know, all,
sure,
the different stem cell stuff. We always come up with the science first, the ethics later. Ethics always lags science.
So would you argue, would you say that medications generally that we take,
yeah,
are designed to improve our health and directly or indirectly increase our lifespan and health span?
Yeah.
Every medication, no one takes a medication that's going to shorten their life.
I think medications are developed to treat a specific disease.
Okay. So, and you're just, the argument would be, is aging a disease?
No.
No, that's what I mean. Like, that's,
yeah,
the argument, right?
Aging is not a disease in,
right,
my idea. It's a natural process.
Would you say that as we age, we all develop kind of borderline diabetes or reduced insulin sensitivity?
We don't all do.
No, but that's one of the problems. I'd say,
yeah,
nowadays in our society, even people who aren't diabetic, a lot,
yeah,
of people have these issues.
Yeah.
You're just treating it before it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think there is an ethical.
Oh, for
it
sure.
It should be discussed.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, and like we said, there's no randomized clinical trial that shows this works in people. There's animal data.
There's one ongoing. Thankfully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's ongoing. And
that's,
this,
cool,
isn't the only medication, actually. They've,
no,
alluded to the fact that ASA has been shown. So aspirin,
yeah,
has been shown to extend life in certain animal models.
Well, even we talked about rapamycin when we talked about Brian Johnson.
He,
I think he stopped taking it, apparently.
Yeah. 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 So there is a group, actually, that is, you know, put together, that put this TAME study together. That is, their whole job is to figure out things that are going to make us last long,
right,
live longer.
Okay.
So at the end of the day now,
yeah,
with the evidence you've seen, summarized in the TAME trial.
Yep.
That just hasn't happened yet. That's ongoing.
Yeah.
Would you take metformin? Now, it's not available to everybody because it's prescription indicated for the management of type 2 diabetes. Would you take it?
Okay, so I've changed. So prior to starting the deep dive, I would have said, yeah, I'm really interested in thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one particular study where that showed that people, because of the way that it affects your mitochondrial function, that people that exercise regularly and relatively intensely, it can have a negative effect on your exercise performance. So for me, and this is actually one of the reasons Dr. Peter Attia, who's big in this longevity space, actually stopped taking it 6 years ago, that probably so for that reason, I wouldn't do it because it would negatively affect exercise performance. And I think if I added like a 12-hour intermittent fast, even like 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., I think that simulates a lot of the same benefits that you get from metformin. It's kind of like fasting. It turns on a lot of the same pathways, plus the exercise. So my answer would be no.
Fair enough.
I think if I was unable or not motivated to exercise or to fast, and I maybe carried a moderate amount of excess weight, even though I wasn't diabetic, I definitely would be interested.
Okay.
What about you?
No.
Because you don't want to live longer, or?
No.
No, I'm curious. Because some people are like, you know what, I'll just take whatever I got.
No, I would not take it because I think I agree in the sense that with lifestyle modifications, you can achieve the same benefit that they're looking for with metformin.
Yes.
I don't think metformin in any way is going to do better than, you know, a good diet, a good exercise.
Stress reduction, sleep, all the stuff.
All the pillars of health that we talked about. I honestly think those things are, and I'm not a big fan of replacing a lifestyle modification with a pill.
That's fair.
Personally.
Yeah.
Others may. Let us know.
When I think that it's almost like steroids, right? Somebody like, well, why don't you just work harder? Well, because I can't. The benefit can be exceeded. And I'm agree with you. If for a healthy person, I'm not sure that the benefit's there. I think for people who are borderline unhealthy or obviously if you have 2 type 2 diabetes, I think
that's a fair take. And I think that's a pretty good take-home message from talking with docs is there that, you can achieve what these people are looking for with metformin by getting up, exercising, and checking, keeping your diet in check and the rest of the pillars of health.
Leave a comment and let us know what you think about this. And now you know all about metformin. You're learning about longevity and the things that cause it. And so we always talk about inflammation, oxidative stress, healthy eating, exercise, all that stuff. If you like this video, please like it, subscribe to our channel. Share it with a friend who's into longevity.
If I do develop type 2 diabetes, I will take it.
Sure.
Why not?
Hopefully you don't die. I hope you don't think of that.
Well, you never know.
You don't.
You are in charge of your own health.
We'll see you next time.